This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. I'm Meera Sevasodhi. Today we're going to be discussing what you call bariatric surgery. A lot of us don't quite understand the term, but you know, it is basically surgery to help us in our struggle with obesity or in our whole weight loss program, especially if you are the type who is unable to lose that weight. I mean, Malaysia has got half of our population who's either overweight or obese. Many of us have diabetes, many of us have hypertension, and all of that is causing a whole load of issues. It's got a knock-on effect on, you know, our quality of life and all of that. So bariatric surgery is something that's interesting. It's been around for many years now. We'll get the lowdown from Dr. Cha Kah Hui. He's a consultant general surgeon from Subangjaya Medical Center, and we're going to be discussing whether or not bariatric surgery, when does it actually become an option when it comes to weight loss? If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or just tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cha. How are you today?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, Meera. And good afternoon to all the listeners out there.
Good afternoon. Also, you know, Dr. Cha, you just want to quickly go through with us. Give us a bit of a history. When did this whole idea of bariatric surgery come about, and when did it become an option for people who really need to lose weight?
Well, actually, the first bariatric surgery was done in the United States since 1950s. It's where the surgery is done with an old open technique, where we do a what we call a laparotomy when we cut open the abdomen. And because of the patient's body habitat, it itself is a major problem for the surgeon, and therefore the surgery carries a lot of complication from the open surgery. However, because of the advancements of technology, we're able to do this surgery in a more minimally invasive technique, and it's become more and more safer. It's much safer now, and therefore the procedure, the number of procedures done in the world has increased significantly over the past 20, 30 years.
So what
actually has been around since 1950s.
Right, that's a long time actually.
Yes.
Because you're right. I mean, every time I read, you always hear about the risks involved. It is a risky surgery, especially that you're dealing with or operating on people who have who are predisposed to other sort of issues. They either are obese, they're diabetic, they've got hypertension, they've got heart issues. But what does a surgery entail? What actually happens?
Well, okay. Bariatric surgeries, there are two main kinds of bariatric surgeries being done in the world right now. The most common right now is what we call laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, where we remove almost 80-85% of the portion of the stomach. We remove it away from the body, and we leave your stomach like a banana-shaped size in stomach, in your body. And what it does is reduce your capacity for food intake. That's one. But the main thing about bariatric surgery is not only the smaller amount of food that you can take, it also affects some changes in your metabolism. It created or it affects the release of different hormones in your gastrointestinal tract that going to affect your brain, how teach your brain how to eat less, have early satiety, get fullness much early, and also, you know, eating a smaller amount of food. So it's not only the anatomical changes. It does a lot more than the anatomical changes. We actually affect a lot of hormonal changes just by doing the surgery. The other common surgery is gastric bypass. See, sleeve gastrectomy is about, in America, it's about 67% now. Oh, no, 50, 60%. And gastric bypass is about 17%. Well, right at this, at least in 2019 or 2020. Okay. And then there are other smaller, less commonly done surgery, which carry higher risk that cause a lot of malabsorption operation.
And the gastric bypass, what does that entail?
The gastric bypass is basically, we created a upper part of your stomach to become like a walnut size or an egg size. Mm-hmm. And this is the where it's going to receive the food. And then after that, we're going to bring a limb or small bowel from about maybe 100 centimeters or 150 centimeters away from the lower part of the intestine to connect to this small stomach. So basically, it not only make your stomach smaller to receive less food, it also bypass some absorption of the small first few part of the small bowel, because the first part of the small bowel, the duodenum, the one that connected to a normal stomach, is bypassed. So that portion actually receive will have it's a great amount of absorption of food happen at the area. So we bypass some absorption of food and nutrients. Therefore, you help in the reduce of food intake and also reduce of food absorption, and therefore changing some of the other hormonal changes.
Okay, so it would seem like a sleeve gastrectomy is much more common than a gastric bypass now.
Well, that is true. It's probably because it's easier to be performed compared to gastric bypass. It's straightforward.
What do you actually do?
We make 5 holes in the abdomen through a very small incision. Yeah. And some people can do it even with much less incision, but I think the commonly done is 5 incisions. And we just taper off the stomach. And therefore, we do not need to rerouting the small intestine. So it, by itself, it have one less step compared to gastric bypass. So you have a less complication, such as a leakage of the connection of the two intestine, the stomach and the bypass small bowel. And also, it has carried less problem with malabsorption later in life. Therefore, it's more commonly done.
Okay. And, you know, when you talk about bariatric surgery, Malaysia, I mean, is the... And I'm saying this for the millionth time on this show. We are the fattest nation in Southeast Asia. How do we not, when is bariatric surgery considered an option for somebody who's actually obese? I mean, surely we all can't be lining up to do bariatric surgery as an easy option to reduce our weight now, can we?
Well, it's not an easy option, actually. We should, as a doctor, we should nowadays offer bariatric surgery to someone who actually meet the criteria. We'll talk about criteria mm-hmm. later, but... See, in the past, not many doctors will claim they are specialized in obesity because there's no good treatment. There are not many. Nowadays, there are more doctors say, "Oh, I'm specialized in obesity treatment because we know bariatric surgery works." There are signs, there are data to support the claims. Therefore, you can see a new generation of doctors that came out, they said, "I'm specializing in bariatric treatment." Mm-hmm. In the past, doctor just said, "Look at when a lot of doctors, when you look at the obese patient, they just said, go and lose some weight, okay, your diabetes will go away." But how to do it? Not many people are able to do it. And the term that they offer is just basically eat less. It doesn't work, okay? Weight loss by diet is difficult and it's failed. 95% of the time over the 2 years period. We know that. The commonly used diet is called it's low-calorie diet. You eat less, you will lose weight. That is correct to a certain extent. Because what happens is when you eat less, your body will also reduce the energy expenditure because they will think that you are starving. So initially, you will lose weight by eating less. But at one point, your body will think you are starving and conserve energy. They want you to eat more. So it's a nature. You can't fight the body. The body will upregulate all the regulator to increase your appetite, to increase hunger. So you're going to eat more. And so it will not work at the end of the day.
I want to disagree with you because there are many people who have been successful in doing that. Are you just talking of a small segment of the population who's unable to do it?
Oh, yeah, I agree. We have a lot of people able to do lose weight by diet. But the data have proven most of them fail over a long time period.
Mm-hmm.
There's no good data to support diet, exercise will make you lose weight for a sustained period of time. That's why there are so many obese patients in Malaysia. We are 20% obesity rate in Malaysia. And that's one in five. When we're talking about obesity, we're talking about not only the obesity, we're talking about obesity-related morbidities such as diabetes, high blood pressure, knee problem, sleep apnea, stroke, heart problem, cancer. So are we going to just continue to do this by not offering surgery to patients? You see, some doctors will see the patient continue to give treatment for diabetes. For high blood pressure, you see different doctors for this problem, high blood pressure, a cardiologist for high blood pressure, a glucose problem for the endocrinologist to see to it for your glucose problem. But they just treat individual disease. But what we offer is something that we can fix the multiple problem with one treatment.
So I think a lot of it is anchored in our psychology, right? Our lifestyle, as you said, and diet being the biggest issue in Malaysia, right? I mean, I think our food is the biggest culprit in this country, right? But even in bariatric surgery, Dr. Chow, I mean, there are many people who do it and then fall back to their old habits and then it doesn't become sustainable anymore. How would you compare that to people who are not successful, who try diet and exercise and do get fitter in 2 years? And then as you claimed that some of them go back, right? The data shows that after two years, people tend to put on weight. But it's the same with bariatric surgery. A lot of people fall off the bandwagon and it doesn't become effective anymore. I mean, the chances of that happening is also high.
We have data to show bariatric surgery for morbid obesity patients, 95% of them will lose weight and they will actually lose a lot of weight in the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about, let's say you're 100 kilos, you're probably about 40 kilo overweight, or then we can promise you losing 75% of the 40 kilo. You probably lose 30 kilo the first 2 years. Yes, you will regain some weight about 2 years later, maybe because you can eat a little bit more, your appetite suppression is not as bad because your appetite tends to come back after 16 to 18 months after surgery. Yes, you regain some weight, but that is the regain of the weight. It's still, we have data to show over a 15 years period, patient who have surgery done, you probably lose, let's say you are 40 kilo overweight, you probably lose the 20 kilo. Initially, you may lose 30 kilo, but over the long term, you still lose 20 kilo. For someone who have 100 kilos, if traditional method of losing weight doesn't help, you just continue 100 kilo for the next 10 years. But what we offer is at least you can become 80 kilos, maybe for the next 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. That is significantly will impact the health. Not only we're talking about weight, we are talking about other things. It will improve your sugar, improve your high blood pressure, you have no sleep apnea, you're less likely to die. You have 40% premature, you improve your premature death by 40%. Okay. You improve your diabetes by almost 78-80%. You improve your hypertension maybe 50%. So those are signs behind it.
And what about the criteria? You spoke about the criteria just now. You want to go through it.
Okay.
Who is eligible for bariatric surgery?
The the criteria we, if you use the traditional criteria, basically, well, it's basically 35, BMI of 35 and above with comorbid problem, such as hyperpressure, diabetes. But if you are 40 and above, you're automatically qualified for this surgery. This is the guidelines. There are more data to support the use of bariatric surgery for those who have diabetes. If you have diabetes, you're diabetic, if your BMI is more than 30, I have no problem operating on this group of patients. And they are, because there are more and more data on what we call a lower BMI, it's 30 to 35, it's called a lower BMI.
So, but that, because of the diabetes being a,
correct.
Sort of a bigger threat than
correct,
than
correct. Because
fulfill.
Malaysia diabetic, we talk about, we have one of the highest diabetes also in this region. Yes. And the problem is the control of the diabetes. Only it's more than 70% of the diabetic patient, the HbA1c. HbA1c can is a measure of your glycation hemoglobin in your blood to show how good is your control of your blood sugar for the past 3 months.
Yeah.
More than 70% is more than HbA1c of 7%. So that means it's poorly controlled in Malaysia.
Okay.
So are we going to just continue to let this scenario continue? Well, doctors should consider bariatric surgery as a first-line treatment for this kind of patient, because we know so far there's no other data. Okay, the data is out there that surgery is much better than medication, diet, and exercise to treat this group of patients.
Okay. Right.
We are talking about morbid obesity. We're not
sure.
talking about those diabetic, BMI 27. No, we are not talking about
sure.
those.
Right. So to make yes. it clear, it's morbid obesity that
correct.
We're discussing. 35 BMI and 40 and above, mostly in those groups. Okay. We'll come back and continue this discussion on bariatric surgery. If you have a question for us, give us a call. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or just tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. I am Mira Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment today, Dr. Cha Ka Hui, he's a consultant, a general surgeon at Subangjaya Medical Center. We're discussing is bariatric surgery for you. I think Dr. Cha has gone through with us what this actually means. The two sort of most common procedures that are carried out as bariatric surgery, the laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy, as well as the gastric bypass, both slightly different, but a lot of it being done minimally invasive now. Am I correct, Dr. Cha?
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
And in fact, 100% minimum invasive. If someone offer you open surgery, run away.
Why?
Because
I'm very conservative. I'm always for open surgery.
No, what I mean is, you see, our target patient are all obese. See, they are morbidly obese. They are higher risk for respiratory problem post operations. And if you have make a big cut in the abdomen in this patient, and post-operatively they have pain, then you have to give him more pain medicine, but you will make them more sleepy. And so it carries a risk, and you may end up monitor them in the ICU for a longer term. And bigger wound have a higher risk of wound infection. See, when I first started training, 1990 something, I've seen open surgery gastric bypass. I've seen patients stay in the hospital for months because of a wound complication.
Right.
So now it shouldn't be done nowadays.
Okay. We have a question from Dr. Van. Dr. Van, how are you today?
Hello. Hi. Fine. I'm an ophthalmologist.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Basically, I did hear the surgeon say that bariatric surgery should be considered in obese patients.
Yeah.
Sure. But have they been fully medicated for diabetes with oral medication and insulin?
Sorry, come again. Could you repeat that question?
No. Have these patients been completely medicated? Because in diabetes, there are several medications, oral medication and insulin, subcutaneous insulin.
So your question is?
My question is if these patients are able to, if you're able to control these patients with medication, does he advise gastric bypass surgery instead?
Sure. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Dr. Van. Over to you, Dr. Cha.
Yes. Actually, there are few randomized control trials comparing two group of patients, a diabetic patient, whether you undergo, you have full support of medication and diet and exercise compared to full support of diet, exercise, and also surgery. Okay. So basically the result is out there. They follow the patient long-term, 2 years, 5 years, even 5 years. The glycemic control is much better at any time point. That means after 1 to 5 years. And also HbA1c is definitely 100% much better compared to 1 to 5 years. And the death rate from the patient who have undergone the surgery actually is much lower compared to the patient who have not received surgery. So that we compare the data outside, out there. We compare already. Okay. It works.
Let me just break this down. So you're saying that somebody who has his diabetic fully controlled with medication lives a lower number of years compared to the person who decides to go through bariatric surgery.
All right. There's a higher risk of cardiac event as well in those who have not gone through the surgeries. Right. So see, the surgery is safe. And we have data to support surgery in obese and diabetic patients have given you a better resolution of glucose, of diabetes, and also a better resolution of other comorbidities. Okay. And prevent you from getting heart attack as well.
So let me just one last chance at this. If I am fully medicated and have my diabetes under control, I will live longer if I opt for bariatric surgery.
It's correct if you are obese.
Okay. If I'm obese, yes. If I am obese, I got to get that clear. 35 and 40 and above, right? Okay. We were talking about side effects just now, Dr. Chow. What are some of the other side effects of bariatric surgery?
The common thing is perioperations that the patient have to take the small risk. Actually, surgery for obesity nowadays is much safer compared to many, many years ago. For example, the risk of dying is probably as low as a gallbladder surgery, even lower. Mm-hmm. For a non, let's say example, if you are operating on a morbid, on an acute gallbladder infection, the risk is actually not low compared to this totally elective, well prepared obese surgery or surgery for obesity. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are risks. Of course, there are other risks involved, such as bleeding, infection. There's maybe some leakage from the staple line. If that happened, it probably will be less than 1% of the staple line leakage. And we have way of treating it post operations. But in general, the risk of dying from bariatric surgery is much lower compared to a gallbladder surgery.
What about long-term effects of on the rest of the body, or even the body's functions and processes as a result of this surgery?
Okay,
because
Dr. I tend
Chow,
to look
have,
at the bright.
My main concern is we have younger and younger people who are obese today, right? And if they opt for this, they're going to live with these long-term effects for a longer period.
Well, interesting.
Of time.
If you ask those patients who undergone the bariatric surgery, they probably is much happier, okay, after the surgeries. In terms of long-term disability, hardly any long-term disability. Unless you are talking about gastric bypass causing a very rare vitamin deficiency, those are actually very rare. If a patient's undergone a bariatric surgery, he should have come back to see us follow-up, to do a long-term follow-up. And study have shown those who follow us long term and to see a dietitian and see a doctors, it's very rare to get into a trouble, because we will remind you to take your vitamins, to eat well, eat healthy. It's very rare to get a deficiency of vitamins nowadays, because there are plenty of vitamins available.
Yeah.
Iron, calcium, vitamin D, protein supplements. So it's very safe.
Okay. What about bowel obstruction, hernias? Are they common?
And especially only if you are doing a gastric bypass, there's a small risk it can happen after operation, after a small bowel obstruction from the bypass. But any surgery will carry a risk. Any surgery, a abdominal surgery, will carry a risk of bowel obstruction after operation. That can happen about maybe a month, or it can happen 10 years later. So we don't know.
You seem to stress that the follow-ups after bariatric surgery is extremely important with your dietitian, and will that help with the longer-term effects? And how often do you need to do these follow-ups?
Well, ideally lifelong. See, someone have to remind a patient who after going the surgery, and if they don't come back, we know that the weight loss, the weight regain will be much higher compared to those who follow up with you, okay? And because we always have to remind the patients, you see, you still have to follow a good diet, a healthy diet, and do some exercise, all right? And we also tell them how to cope, because you see, obesity is a multifactorial problem. Okay, there's no one way. You have to treat them from all aspects, including psychosocially.
So what about psychological? How do you address the mental health of a patient?
Well, in general, before the operation, I would normally talk to them carefully about any medical mental issues such as severe depression, who is required on certain medication, or any psychotic problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, we probably will screen them out. I will refer them to my psychologist if I have any questions about that. If someone who has seen the psychology beforehand, I will definitely get a support letter from their psychologist to prove that it's safe. This patient is aware. And he's agree, and he knows what he's getting into, okay? Because it's very important. I recently have one patient. His BMI is about 30-something only. He's not very fat. BMI 33, 34, but he's diabetic for long term. So, and he has some mental issue, but the psychologist is very supportive. He has a very good support. And the psychologist said, go ahead. He knows what he's doing. So actually, that is important, okay? In terms of post after operation, it's just like a diet. It's just like a disease of this obesity. Okay, it's a multifactorial. We have to still support them from the diet, exercise, and behavioral changes.
Okay,
those are more important long term.
What are some of patients' concerns or reservations about bariatric surgery?
I think as a Asian society, probably you see Western medicine is so used to cutting a surgery to treat their disease, but not in Asian. Asian population, they tend to think that surgery is a last resort. Okay, I only would do it when I need to. And they are quite worried about having a normal stomach being cut away. And but we are dealing with a group of patients who really need it, okay? So therefore, I would tell them the risks involved, yes, but the benefit that he's going to get from the surgery. See, the benefit outweighs any complication that you're going to get from the obesity. See, we have 20% obesity rate in Malaysia, and how many of them are diabetes? And how many end up with the dialysis? How many become blind? So all this. If we don't catch them earlier, offer them the chance to have a better quality of life for many, many years, to enjoy many, many years, instead of dealing with diabetes and high blood pressure, heart problem, kidney, slowly progressive disease. So I think the surgery is very important.
Yeah. Well, you are talking to one Asian who believes you go under the knife only when it is absolutely necessary. But you're right. Sometimes we need to be realistic about or manage our own expectations and have very difficult conversations with ourselves about long-term health and what this actually looks like, isn't it?
All right.
Weighing the benefits versus the cost. And I'm not talking financial here. I'm just talking about...
See, it's not a shortcut. This is not a shortcut.
Yeah.
Some people say it's a shortcut. You just take an easy way out. Actually, it's not. The surgery is not an easy way. There's nothing easy about the surgery. It takes a courage for the patient to decide to have surgery.
Yeah.
Correct or not? Especially for Asians. And it's not easy way out when someone decided to go through this surgery, because it take a you have to go under the knife and you have to take the small risk of a complication of the operations. So when someone have to go through the surgery, we should encourage them. Okay, this is what I think. Because
that's
you
what
see,
you think you're the surgeon. I wouldn't
because it's hard to lose weight. It's hard to lose weight.
It is. Okay, so I think it's a psychological thing. To lose weight, even normally, it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of willpower. And I personally feel, even if you do surgery, it will take a lot of willpower to maintain it post-surgery. But I cannot argue with the data. If the data says, it is clear that, with surgery, management of it is a lot more efficient versus, people who opt for diet or to modify diet and exercise or their lifestyle, then that's what it is, right? Anyway, we're talking about bariatric surgery with Dr. Chak Kahui, Consultant General Surgeon from Subang Jaya Medical Center. If you have a question for us, give us a call. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our update from Bursa Malaysia, Building Fit Malaysia. I'm sorry, that just totally distracted me just now. The FVL, the FVM KLCI is 0.1% low at 1,586 points. Among the most actively traded stocks are CSH Alliance, Farmfresh Berhad, Fittest Diversified, AT Systemization and Dagang Nexchange. Gainers led by KL Kapong, Farmfresh, Malaysia Pacific Industries, PMB Technology and Great Tech Technology. Decliners include Nestle Malaysia, F&N Holdings, Press Metal Aluminium, Hong Leong Capital and Hong Leong Financial Group. We'll have more in our next news update at the top of the hour on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. If you have just joined us, I am Mira Sivasodhi in our Health and Living segment. On the line with me, Dr. Chak Kahui, Consultant General Surgeon from Subang Jaya Medical Center. And we're discussing whether or not bariatric surgery should be a consideration for obesity, especially that, we have a lot of people with comorbidities in this country, which is related to obesity, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes. So we've gone through a fair bit of discussions. I'm sort of fighting Dr. Cha. He's all for surgery and I'm like, no, you have to think about how you can do it traditionally first before you actually give up. But, there's a question that came in that didn't go on air, Dr. Cha. And the question is, what's the possibility of a re-sleeve? What does that mean?
Revisional operation. It's for someone who failed initial sleeve gastrectomy. When you say it's failed, probably because patient regained some weight after the surgery. It's a possibility, but the surgeons have to decide whether has your stomach that have been divided has increased in size. That one we can do some procedure, some investigations by using a barium swallow or a scope, a stomach scope, to look at the whatever left behind in the stomach to see whether there is any possibility to make it smaller. But the data actually doesn't, the re-sleeve gastrectomy probably is not as good as compared to other revisional surgery. Probably patients should consider other methods such as change it to another type of weight loss surgery, such as gastric bypass.
Okay, so meaning to say this is what happens during a sleeve gastrectomy, and then after that,
after many years, probably.
Yeah, it goes back. The stomach from a banana moves back to the original size.
No, it's unlikely to go back to the original size. This is impossible. It probably will stretch a little bit, but there, as I say, no weight regains. There are few of them can happen. Most of the patients have lost quite a significant amount, about 50% of their excess weight long term.
So in your opinion, what, as a surgeon, what is successful surgery for you?
Well, the some people use a criteria of more than 35% of their excess weight for long term. That is considered successful. I will see 50% more than excess of the excess weight loss. That means if you're 40 kilo overweight, you can maintain a 20 kilo weight loss over the long period of time, that it should be quite reasonable.
And it's long period of time meaning?
Yes, about almost 10, 15 years that we have. We follow them long term. So that is the data out there.
Sure. So, and what about for the patient? What is successful surgery for the patient?
Yes, that is very subjective. See, some patients, just by able to cross their leg sitting down, it's a successful operation already. See, some patients can go and play a catch with the kids. Mm-hmm. That's a successful operation already.
Okay.
We treat not only the weight, we also treat other comorbid problems as well as their mental health.
Yeah, and lifestyle and everything else that comes along with it. Confidence, all of that, right? And when a patient actually returns home, in terms of changes to their daily routine, function, their self-management, does it make a big difference?
That means return home.
Yeah. So after surgery, when they go home.
Oh yeah, actually the pain after some patient will experience some heartburns after the first night of the operations, but that settled down pretty quickly overnight. But after that, the surgical pain at the incision site is quite tolerable. We just by taking a few pain tablets, pain medicine, they should be able to exercise, walking around at home easily. Because the wound is small and is protected by a dressing that is waterproof, then they can shower. So pretty much we want them to walk more after surgery.
Okay. And actually, it's minimally invasive, so I'm assuming recovery is a lot faster.
Normally take about 1 to 2 weeks before you return back to work.
Okay. Yes. So what I'm hearing is after all of this and after you recover, the follow-ups are extremely important to ensure you're on the right track for the longer term. Do they, besides getting guidance from or consistent guidance from on diet and vitamins and all of that, do they have to come and see you as the surgeon or do they not?
Ideally, I like to see my patients. I still have a WhatsApp group chat with almost all my patients. They form a group. They are very happy talking to each other. And they always send some updates on their images of their pictures. And ideally, we should have them have the blood test done once a year to see how, to make sure there's no low red blood cell count, no anemia, you know. Those are the things I think patients to focus on after the operation for long-term follow-up.
Okay. And you can eat anything you want after?
All right. It shouldn't be a diet after operations.
Okay.
See, it shouldn't be diet. You can eat anything. Of course, important thing is a good food, good healthy food. We need food to survive. That's why diet doesn't work. We need food to survive.
I am going to hold you against that. You know, I am really going to do that. That's it, Dr. Chow. It's a challenge. Yes. I'm going to see you in 10 years, fit and fabulous, than I am today. But would you have a message for us on bariatric surgery?
Okay. See, obesity is a progressive disease. It's a chronic disease. It's a disease that... actually, it's a very strong genetic predisposition. So it's very strong genetics. About there's one gene, FTO, fat mass and obesity associated genes. It happens in probably about 47% of the populations. So these genes actually predispose certain people to eat more food, higher calorie.
47% of 47%. Us have
that gene. Yes. So you can't, it's not a single gene defect. It's not a single gene defect, like leptin deficiency. No, it's very rare. Those are very rare. If your kids become obese before two years old, that you should get a genetic testing. But for us, the thing about genetics is it happened in majority of our populations. And it predisposed you to eat more. And with the readily available food mamak store, you can't. It's very difficult to lose weight in Malaysia. Okay, with a multifactorial. And weight gain will make more weight gain. So that's why in the those who are the obese category, it's very difficult to lose weight. And it's hard to learn. So don't tell them they are, you know, taking a way out, easy way out to do surgery. It's no such thing. It's very difficult for them to lose weight. Everybody know that. We try to exercise. We try to lose weight. It's not impossible.
Yeah.
See? So, and, okay, for those who are not really, who are really hate surgery, well, we have other technique of doing weight loss, like gastric balloon. We can do a minimum invasive using endoscopy, just like doing a stomach scope. We can place a balloon, or even we can ask you to swallow the balloon while awake.
Really?
That gastric balloon. That is another technique of losing weight. I forgot to mention that.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that very quickly?
Well, gastric balloon is a non-surgical technique that we fill the balloon with about 500 ml of the saline. And then we first ask you to swallow the pill first, or we introduce a pill through the scope. And then we inflate the balloon in your stomach.
Right.
And we leave the balloon there for about 4 to 6 months, or sometimes 1 year, depending on what type of balloon we use. And ideally, we should lose you about 10 to 15% of your body weight. Okay. That means you are, let's say, 100 kilo, you probably lose you 10 to 15 kilos.
And you remove it. You remove it after 4 to 6 months.
Correct. One of the swallow balloon will excrete it by itself because it will collapse by itself in the body.
Right.
And the other one will have to do the endoscopy to retrieve it after a year. So there are different type of balloon, but both acting at the same way, is acting as a space occupying balloon in your stomach to prevent you from eating more.
I see. So. Okay. My innovation, isn't it? It's amazing. Right. Any technology or any sort of research that you're looking forward to?
Well, there are new things that is being done, like endoscopically to make your stomach smaller, like a sleeve, endoscopic sleeve, gastroplasty. But at cost is a factor. And the result will not be as good as laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy. That's what we know so far. So with the cost and also the result is inferior. So probably it will not go much. It will not going to be replacing the traditional laparoscopic sleeve gastrectomy or gastric bypass.
Okay, not at the moment then. Okay, yes. Something to look forward to. Thank you very much for joining us today. That was Dr. Chaka Hui, Consultant General Surgeon from Subang Jaya Medical Center, speaking to us about bariatric surgery on Health and Living BFM 89.9.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.